KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm glad you're with us today. With me in the studio are two students and a Fresno State staff member who are all involved in a program called Service Learning Coaches. That's an effort at Fresno State that provides peer-led reflection for students who are enrolled in service learning classes. With me today are Melissa Jessen-Heiser, the assistant director for the Jan and Bud Richter Center, who's been with us on the show before. Welcome back, Melissa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Melissa brought along two of her star service learning coaches, Ms. Miracle Carter and Mr. Daniel Apuan. Welcome, Miracle and Daniel.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
So first things first, let's clarify, what is service learning and how is it different than other types of community service and volunteerism? Melissa, do you want to answer this one or should we put Miracle and Daniel on the spot and make them answer?
I love the idea of putting them on the spot.
Go ahead.
For me, service learning is kind of like the difference between a lecture and a lab class. In the lecture, you're going to learn a lot about concepts and materials, which is what you do in a service learning class. But then you get to put those concepts, put those ideas that your professor has provided you into action like you would in a lab, but out in service at a community site.
Great. Miracle?
I agree with Daniel. I feel like service learning, you're able to apply exactly what you're learning and the concepts. So it gives you the option to reflect versus, you know, if someone just goes out and volunteers, maybe they don't know what to necessarily look for or, you know, that information on their site, who they're serving, et cetera. So...
yeah, I've heard this term. It's academics in action. This idea that what you learn in the textbooks, that sterile information you get that's important, then you get a chance to actually see how does that play out in the real world outside of the classroom.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
So, Melissa, you got to toss the first one, but this one you got to answer. This Service Learning Coaches program that's part of the larger leadership development effort in the Richter Center, I'm wondering if you'll talk about that larger program, the Richter Center Student Leaders, and why it's such an important part of the university's service efforts.
Sure. Our Richter Center Student Leadership Program, or we call it RCSL for short, is comprised of four teams of students who volunteer their time over the course of the year to promote and nurture our campus culture of service. So the four teams are the Richter Center Ambassadors, who are really just focused on promotion of service and helping their peers understand the value of incorporating service into the educational experience. The Serve Committee plans one-day service events, so making it possible for students to easily check in and get involved with service. The Reflection Facilitators, who attend those one-day service events and lead reflection activities, so the students who are participating as volunteers can work through their experience and make some meaning out of it by engaging in reflective discussion. And then the new Service Learning Coaches program, which we're here to talk about today, which really grew out of that original Reflection Facilitators team. They lead reflection workshops over the course of the semester for students enrolled in service learning courses.
So the students who are enrolled in these service learning classes that we talked about, they're different than the student who would just be out volunteering, you know, say for Kids Day or blood drives or things like that.
Right. So those types of events are usually true volunteerism in that somebody elects to serve or get involved. They're not compelled to do it in some way. Whereas service learning, it's part of a course requirement. So a student may not choose to do that. It's something that their teacher's requiring them to do.
Great. And so you've got this brand new program this year, the Service Learning Coaches. What was the reason for starting this program? It sounded like you had some really good leadership programming already, the Ambassadors program you talked about, the Serve Committee, and the Reflection Facilitators.
Yeah.
So what was the impetus to start this new program? Mm-hmm.
We really saw with our Reflection Facilitators, and we call them REFs, and then so now we have REFs and coaches, if you can believe that.
We love our acronyms around here in the university, right?
Yeah. But what we saw with our REFs was they were really making impactful work by helping students, I like to say, make meaning of their mm-hmm. service experience. So by talking about it, by thinking about it. So one option would be a student just comes and serves and then gets in their car and drives away and doesn't think again about the impact they made or, you know, why we decided to be at this site versus that site and what's the reason for the work that we're doing and what are they getting out of that. And so our refs, by leading discussions before, during, and after that service, they help those students kind of drive away with a little bit clearer understanding of how they fit into this community by engaging in service. So we really wanted to extend that to our service learning courses. And what we found with our previous leadership programs is that peer-to-peer connection can sometimes be more meaningful than kind of a top-down approach of a staff member or faculty member leading some of these discussions. So I think peers can relate on a certain level that the rest of us can't. And so we instituted this new program to kind of support what was already happening in the classroom. So as you know, faculty already engage their students in reflection activities, but this is just something extra that is led by peers.
Yeah, so it's one thing to have a faculty member guiding a group of students in a class through some kind of critical assessment or analysis of what it is they're going to be doing, what it is they're doing in the community, or what they have done that before, during, and after. But it's different when they get with a group of their peers and have conversations about that.
Yeah.
So you got this brand new idea and you need to recruit some students to be your guinea pigs for this thing. Daniel and Miracle, I'd love to know what compelled you to sign up for this program. But first, I guess I want to back up and say maybe you can tell the listeners a little about yourself. You know, where are you from? What are you studying in school? That kind of thing.
I am actually not from Fresno. I am from Bakersfield, California, so it's about 2 hours south from here. I am the oldest of four siblings and also a first-generation college student, so that's really exciting to be here and, you know, to be a part of these great programs, not having that experience, or my family having that experience of college. I am a pre-nursing major, and I'm also double minoring in communication and public health.
Double. One minor's not enough.
Well, hey, as long as I'm here, you know, try to knock out as much as I can. I'm actually applying to the nursing program this summer, so that's really exciting. I'm currently finishing up my prerequisites. I'm also a part of Scholars in Service, so it's another program in the Jan and Bud Richter Center that has to do with, you know, serving the community, and I'm also enrolled in a service learning class that's led by Chris. So I'm just really involved with the community, and from not being here and being able to have such a strong connection, I feel really blessed to be a part of these programs that allow me to do so.
Well, we feel the same way about you being part of the programs. And Daniel, how about you? A little background on yourself?
I'm also not from Fresno. You got, I think, the only two not from Fresno or the immediate area of Fresno on the coaches team. I'm from Palmdale, which is an hour further south from Bakersfield, going through the Tehachapis in the Mojave Desert. I'm a third year mechanical engineering major with a math minor, and call me crazy. You can more than happy to. It's a lot of fun. I absolutely love it. But I grew up in a scouting family. I was a Boy Scout. I am an Eagle Scout. And service, for those who know, is a big part of the scouting movement. And when I got here to Fresno State, I missed the service. It was a lot of fun. I got to do some really cool things with friends. So I started to look sometime in my sophomore year for a way to get back in the game, if you will.
Yeah.
And a good friend of mine, who's also a fellow coach, she said, "Hey, come join the Richter Center." I said, "All right, Liliana, I'll come join. Where do I sign up?" And after talking with Melissa, we figured that the coaches program would be the best fit for me.
Great. So what made you want to volunteer for that first group of coaches? What was it that you felt like that was the best fit?
When I first applied to join the Richter Center Student Leaders, you go through an interview with Melissa, actually, and we were sitting talking about some of the things that I've done in the past and what I hope to do in the future. And just through that discussion, Melissa actually was the one who recommended that I join the coaches program. I was thinking one of the other three, actually. But after that conversation and after I'd thought about it for a few more days, I said, "Sure, this sounds like a really great program. I was really excited to be a part of it. You get to work with other students, which I really enjoy, and it sounded like a great program." So I said, "Sure, let's do it."
Great. Miracle, how about you? What led you to this program?
You did, actually. So like previously mentioned, I was a part of SIS before I was a part of RCSL. And I remember receiving an email towards the end of the semester, my second year, from you, Chris, saying, you know, "Hey, Miracle, there's this really cool program that I think you'd be good at. You know, check out the application. Applications are due this upcoming week, et cetera, et cetera." So I was like, okay. So I clicked the link and I'm reading through the three programs that were already well established. And I was like, okay. But then I came across the coaches program. And the idea of, you know, being a part of this pilot program, this new program, and being able to, you know, be a part of forming the curriculum and laying down the foundation for other service learning coaches to follow, the idea just, I was like, okay, like, I didn't really have much thought like Daniel. I was more of, oh, this idea of something new, being a part of it, let's do it. So that was actually, I believe, the only program I applied for. I don't even think I put the other three as options because I was like, I needed this program. So that's kind of how I got into RCSL and my thought process behind it. And I don't regret any of it.
I am happy to take credit for you joining the program. I'm just going to remind you that once in a while, Melissa. At least I got one. So what exactly were you committing to when you said, yeah, I want to do service learning coaches?
Well, on the application, there were a number of dates. So we had in-service trainings, trainings as the coaches themselves. And also I knew that I was going to have to meet once a week with the other coaches to go over the curriculum and, you know, plan the workshops. So I knew that going in. I love that the dates were already kind of preset. So as I was filling out the application, I was able to look ahead like, okay, like, yeah, I can meet all these requirements.
The training dates, how much time did that take?
In the summer, the coaches, we had a 3-day training. So that's when I was able to meet Daniel and the other 5 coaches. So we spent basically the entire day, those 3 days, just doing icebreakers and getting to know each other and learning about RCSL and exactly what we would be doing and what it means to be a coach and all of that good stuff. And on the last day of training, we were able to meet the refs because we are so closely aligned in our duties. So that was really fun. And I believe that we had that weekend. And then the next week, we had our entire RCSL training, which I believe it was also 3 days. So we had already met the refs that last day of our 3-day training. So then the following week, we were able to meet all the rest of RCSL. So we met the ambassadors, we met CERV, and we were all together, and it was really nice. We were camping, and we, again, were able to do icebreakers, and it was beautiful. So that was what happened in the summer. So once the semester started up, the coaches all came to a consensus of when we were able to meet that once a week. So I believe last semester we met on Thursdays and we met for 50 minutes and it was solely the coaches. And that's when, you know, we talked about what we wanted to implement in the curriculum, how that would look, our thoughts about it. So that's when we really just worked and, as Melissa says, massaged out the curriculum for that. And this semester we met on Wednesdays because, you know, different schedule changes, and we did about the same.
And Daniel, what do you think you took away most from those trainings that helped you be an effective service learning coach?
In those first 3 trainings over the summer where it was just the coaches, we spoke a lot about different learning styles and how those different learning styles learn about people who take more time to think, people who jump right into action. So that way, as we planned different workshops, we had that in mind so we could create activities for both sets of groups. The group of people that'll jump right into any task, get started right away, and the people that'll sit back, think for a while first, and then can proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole goal of those first 3 trainings, was to develop the knowledge base needed to plan effective workshops. All RCSL, Miracle called it a camping trip. I will strongly disagree with that, but we were in cabins, not tents. And
this you know, Eagle Scout who's probably spent weeks on end and sleeping out of a sleeping bag on the floor.
I spent an entire summer backpacking a few summers back, and we learned a lot about the Jan and Bud Richter Center and just service and reflection as a whole. Got to know a lot of people within the entire student leadership group, which was a lot of fun, like Miracle had said. Then we had a couple of small in-services over the past semester, as well as we had one last semester. Those were a little more focused. One session I can remember very clearly was a transferable skills session where we talked about what have we learned, how do we apply it, and then how do we talk about it maybe in an interview or with other people that we meet, and how do we express what we've done here as Richter Center student leaders. And the other one that really stands out was with Melissa as well. We did an advocacy training talking about how do you advocate for something that you're passionate about, whether it's service or take your pick of causes. It was, both of those were probably 2 of my favorite trainings over the past year.
Great. So for all 3 of you, really, you go through all this training and planning, and Melissa, I know you had a lot of ideas coming into this thing. Was that first semester nice and smooth? Did it go the way you wanted, or, you know, were there reasons to second guess the program a little bit?
So real quick about the training, I do want to share that these students, the coaches especially, over the course of the last year spent about 65 hours in training. And I just want to reiterate that they're volunteers.
Yeah.
And so that's on top of all of their other duties. And so, yeah. I mean, we've sincerely...
Majors, minors.
Right, right. Yeah. We sincerely appreciate all of their time and what they've done and the way that they've really committed to this program. And then I also just want a quick shout out to my colleague, Taylin Bennett Parker in the Richter Center, who has been really working with me on this project hand in hand. And it wouldn't be where it is today without her. And I know you've had her in here a couple of times.
Yeah, yay, Taylin, yes.
But yeah, no, things did not go as we hoped the first semester. I mean, it was really great opportunity to pilot the program and see how it would go. I think some of the challenges that some of our students faced, and I won't say too much so that Miracle and Daniel can expand on it, was a conflict between our coaches who already are passionate about service, coming into contact with students who did not feel the same way. And I think sometimes our leaders felt like they failed if a student didn't walk out of the room completely head over heels for service. And so we had to kind of work through that. So what would make this program successful? Are we trying to create people who love service? Are we trying to create opportunities for students to learn through service? And so I don't know if you guys want to talk some more about some of the other challenges we faced.
So that first semester, like you said, Melissa, was a bit of a challenge. But I do think in some ways it was also successful because, yes, we did learn. We learned a lot. So it was a success for us to know how better to improve the program. But I can remember a handful of students in my two different workshops that also gained more than just, well, I have to show up for 50 minutes three times this semester and to get a grade. They learned a little something, and maybe it wasn't quite as obvious as it was this semester, but I can definitely think of a handful of students that I worked with who did gain something and who realized, wow, I never would have thought that I would have learned about take your pick of topics. We had construction managers in one of my sections, and ag business majors were heavy in the other section, and both groups had students who learned something. It was quite a few months ago now, so it's hard to remember, but I do remember having seen that light turn on for those students.
And I think your point's important that here you've got students coming from very different backgrounds, very different classes, construction management in the engineering, College of Engineering, and then you've got ag business out of the Jordan College of Agriculture. You know, those are very different disciplines, very different instructors. I think you had somebody from public relations and another from recreation. So very different students. And so they're not all going to bring in the same mindset about service and about being at programs like the coaches. Miracle, anything that you took away from the challenges and or the successes from that first semester?
Yeah, of course. So I found, well, we found as a whole that a lot of the students were craving more 101 attention and discussion. I mean, we were so excited to, you know, take in as many students as we could get our hands on. But what we found was that we kind of had a harder time juggling the larger groups. And some students, like Daniel mentioned, did get it. Like, you know, it was easy. They were able to make that connection. But for the students that maybe it took them a little longer, or they just weren't quite getting it, sometimes were overlooked maybe because they were in that larger group. So a lot of the feedback that we did receive was that, you know, maybe less lecture style, because a lot of the faculty were already giving that information that we kind of were giving, and more of just dialing in on exactly what we wanted to focus on that workshop and doing so in smaller groups. So I know that was something that was huge for me, at least, to see that, okay, some students just aren't getting it. And as coaches, you know, we need to coach them through this experience, especially if this is a new one for them. So being able to really focus on, you know, 6 individuals at one time versus 12 mm-hmm. would make all of the difference.
Yeah. And I think one of the great things about what you guys are sharing is that, yeah, there were challenges here. You went through all of this training that you talked about and you experienced challenges, but you still recognize, number one, there were some really great successes. And then, you know, you kind of fail forward, right? I mean, it wasn't a failure by any stretch, but you realize, okay, look, not everything went the way that we had hoped. Brand new program, never done this before. And I think that there's a lot of learning that comes out of that and facing up to, okay, here's where we fell short. How can we change the program to do that? So the spring semester rolls around, Melissa, and you've got this revised format. So what did the coaches program look like this semester?
So as Miracle mentioned, we worked with much smaller groups this semester. So that was one big change. Whereas we would have more of like a 1-to-5, sometimes like 1-to-3 ratio of coaches to students. The other big change was we incorporated the final reflection assignment that the teachers required other students in their class into our curriculum.
Okay.
And so we're really trying to work closely with the students to help them work through some of the things that they would have to answer to at the end of the semester and help them prepare for. In some classes, it's a final paper. In others, it's a presentation.
And did you see the experience of the general student who was coming through these workshops change this semester?
Oh, yes. So we just finished our last round of workshops at the end of last month. And so we're still finalizing all of our assessment data for the year. But one of the big things we've seen just in satisfaction level of student ratings has increased this year. And a lot of the feedback has been appreciating the one-on-one or the very specific attention that they got from the coaches.
So you alluded to something that's important to understand, that you weren't just doing this stuff and not paying attention to. So what was the student experience like? You do some assessment after every single workshop, right?
Yeah, every workshop the students are given a really quick assessment where we try, because in the development of the curriculum that the coaches work really hard on is to identify learning outcomes. So we're assessing those, as well as providing opportunities for the students to give us feedback. Let us know what's working, what's not working, and how we can make them better.
So you're assessing from the students who are participating in the workshop, the students who are leading the workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Are you also talking with the faculty members?
Yes. So at the end of last semester, we had a big wrap-up session with all of our faculty who participated, and the feedback they gave us was instrumental in making a lot of the changes we made this semester. One of the changes was even to make it elective. So last semester, all students were required to come, and this time they had a choice between doing this or an alternative assignment. And so I think that made a difference as well. So that was just some of the changes that have made from the feedback from faculty.
Daniel Miracle, I'm wondering, you know, you're working with these students then 3 times over the course of the semester in these small groups, you're getting to know them a little bit. What are 1 or 2 of the big takeaways that you saw some of your students realize from these workshops?
What I found was, again, they really appreciated the smaller groups and that one-on-one attention. And also, I found that with the new curriculum and what it was geared towards, students were really able to walk away with that kind of, aha, like, I get what I'm doing. I understand, you know, the mission statement at my site and what exactly the tasks that I am doing and how that is impacting the community and the skills I am able to take away from that. And again, a lot of that was because of the change in curriculum and what we saw students desired. So we were literally giving them what they wanted. And again, because it was optional, a lot of the students that were there wanted to be there and wanted to learn. So just overall, they were just really receptive to all the information that we were giving them. And what I realized was how important reflection is. So again, reflection was the theme all throughout the year because that was a big piece. You know, it's different just going in and doing something and just leaving like, oh, okay, you know, the deed is done, it's complete. Okay, what's next? Versus you're in the moment, you're thinking exactly about the tasks that you are doing and how this is impacting the person. And then afterwards, sitting back and reflecting on how what I gained from it and all the impacts that I did make. And I also found that some of the students were expecting the impact at their sites to be, you know, this large, like, revolutionary thing, you know, and sometimes that wasn't the case. And some students, like, you know, they didn't feel like they made an impact at all. So being able to really help them identify that, even if it was just making that person smile or, you know, just giving them that feedback, that's an impact because, you know, you just made their day, even if just for that day, a lot better versus if they never had met you at all. So I found that to be really, like, eye-opening.
Helping them appreciate why the importance of their service and then the learning that comes out of it.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering, Daniel, what do you think you took away from the service experience? What learning did you have?
I learned a lot about how others learn, as kind of silly as that might sound. The vast majority of the students that I work with, my engineering friends, all the guys that I sit in class with, we're all very visual learners.
Uh-huh.
If the professor can put it up on the board, we got it. No big deal. But most of the students that I impacted were not visual learners. They need to either do something to kind of figure things out or they need to think about it. And so seeing that kind of difference makes me really appreciate that I'm in the engineering department because it fits me well, but it also makes me appreciate all the other departments and what they all bring to the table. And how the I had an MCJ student who was working with, I want to say, downtown Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And how she was so excited because she was able to get a bunch of farmers to join the farmers market that's getting started here in the next couple of weeks. And like that builds community. And it's so important as well. And it was a really just incredible to learn from all of them how they're making impacts. Whether they see that they're making an impact or not is a whole other question. But I loved seeing, you know, every little way, no matter what you do, you can make an impact in yeah. whether it's professionally or just being a human being walking down the street and meeting somebody else.
And I think one of the things that you kind of mentioned in there made me think, so what's the outcome for you when you walk away from here, you know, in another year or so when you graduate and you go into an engineering field? So you learn that other people have different learning styles. Why does that matter? Well, I think it matters because you're going to have to explain to your clients, here's the engineering concepts of why we designed this way, and here's the flow of traffic, or here's how this bridge needs to be constructed. So then you're talking with the construction professionals, helping them understand some of the principles that apply, but also in your own families, in your own life, that understanding that certain learning styles are going to mean that people are going to better understand certain principles in life if it's presented to them in different ways. And I think that's key. And I think it's important, just in a realization for all of us, that, you know, look, service is one way that people can definitely learn, but they also learn by reflecting differently on that experience. So talking about it, writing about it, doing some kind of an activity, maybe a drawing activity, or sharing with others. So they might hear something and learn something by hearing it, but they're going to, when they talk about it, they have aha moments as well.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that, Chris.
So Melissa, real quick before we run out of time, what's next for the program?
We're going to continue doing it. We've already recruited new coaches for next year. And luckily, folks like Miracle and Daniel and a few of our other coaches will be returning. We're going to try and continue to pilot it with some new faculty and see where we go.
Great. Daniel, Miracle, I know final start next week, and good luck with that and have a great summer. And I just sure appreciate the fact that you've given all of this time, as Melissa alluded to, all this time to helping others learn through service. And as we talked about in the beginning, you know, reflection really is where service learning comes alive for people. And service learning is where academics really is put into action for students, and they learn so much that way. And there's 5,000 students or so involved in these service learning classes at Fresno State every year. So your work is really important, and we really appreciate it. And that is about it for our time today. And I want to, again, thank Melissa Jessen-Heiser, Miracle Carter, and Daniel Alpon. Thanks for everybody listening this morning, and I hope you'll join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program. And please like us on Facebook and let us know what you think about the show and these great programs we feature, like the Service Learning Coaches. You can find us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide on www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.